That's what I've got to study. That's what I've got. That's where I met him. It's when somebody preached and said, "For by grace you can be saved through faith." That's what changed my life. That took a country boy out of the country. You can always take an old country boy out of the country, but you can't get the country. You can take the boy out of the country, but you can't get the country out of the boy. Amen. So that's a good thing. This may be a little different for you Sunday school, because I've been up at since 12 o'clock last night. I woke up. I was burdened last night. I've been up all night, and I'm full, buddy. I'm ready for you. I'm aiming for you this morning. So I'm going to preach to you this morning on something. And what before I do, I've got something going on here. You think it's a bag of rocks, and I'm going to knock a devil in the head, but that's not what it is. I got my old Bible here. I got this Bible when I started preaching. I took it to prison. I've had it in every crack and cranny of this country. I took it to jails all over this country. I could bring Brother Andrew up here and sit him down here to be by my side, and I'd be in good company. But this is my message, and he's going to have to be quiet, because this is my message, amen. But I'm going to tell you something else in a minute about him. Then I could bring my wife up here, as I've spent some. I told y'all that's my girlfriend. She ain't going nowhere. And I'm telling you, I've been with her. She's been with me all these years. She's been with me through thick and thin. Almost messed that up one time, but I tell you what, I told you she ain't going nowhere. I'm going with her. But I'm going to lay this down right here beside me, and every time I think about it, I'm going to think, if I get Alzheimer's and all that old stuff, and they say your past is all you've got, there's been my past, amen. And I hope that's all God ever takes me back to. But He has taken me back to places where I have been with my God, and my God has been with me, and I have knelt down and wrapped my arms around His feet many a time, and I've contaminated Him with my sin, and I am knowing where I'm standing with this verse that I'm going to give you, and when I do get through today, I'm going to tell you we're headed back home. Amen. I want us to pray. Brother Josh, I had a burden all night about some one person, brother. That and when we know somebody's got a problem, we need to have a burden for them. If they can't find help in the church, if they can't find somebody to pray for them, they can't find anybody. This is where it's at. You're the strength.
Amen.
God's put a touch on you. You've got it.
Yes, sir.
What I'm interested in is have you felt the touch of God?
Amen. Amen.
That's what this is all about. That's what it's going to be about today. Have you had the touch of God? That's what's going to make a difference.
Right.
Turn with me right quick. I left this here for just a minute for a reason. I even left my marker in my book. I'm not here to mark on his face, old devil's face either. I'm going to change that little red costume he's got to pink, man.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to pray. I've been praying all night, but just for a moment. I want us to get ready for God to give us a touch. Amen. Folks, we need a touch from God.
Yes, sir.
The church has got to have a touch from God.
Damn.
And there's a way to do it. I promise you, there's a way to do it. I have felt His touch, and I've loved every minute of it.
Damn.
Father, thank You so much. God, for just a moment, we want to stand silent. We want to come into Your presence. We want to wrap our arms around Your feet. It may be contaminating you, but it is so important to understand that you can't be contaminated so much with sin that you can't overcome it all. We saw that. And God, we just pray for just a moment. Minister to us. Come to us, O God, we pray in this service this morning. And everything we do is for You. We need Your help. Thank You, my Father, for Your goodness. And now as we open up the Word of God, may we see Your goodness. Let us put everything out of our vision, everything out of our sight. And, oh God, I pray that You will come and visit with us this morning and give us a touch from heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Standing there last night in the kitchen, and I've laid all my books out, and I've come up with this, and I've got my Bible open trying to verify some things that I look and see how the best way to explain this and that. And always come back to the Bible and just try to find that best way to explain a word or whatever. I love doing that. But I'm going to tell you something. I got there last night, Brother Josh, and I'm standing there, and I'm jumping up and down like I'm getting the itch, man. And I'm running around like this, and I thought the rapture would come and got me in slow motion. Because God Almighty, when you start reading the Word of God and let it affect your life, if you just stand long enough for God to affect you, it'll do something for you. You can be touched by a book because the Word of God is the Word of God. This has been contaminated with every thug in the country, but it has not affected God one bit. Amen? It has not touched His glory. It has not touched His precious holiness one bit. He's just as holy today as the first day that I preached it, brother. And it's going to last throughout all of eternity. But the one thing I want you to look at today with me, I'm going to take you to three verses that I've used. One on Wednesday night I used, and when I did that on Wednesday night, I almost felt the attack of the devil because it's a sermon that you cannot finish. And by the way, you can't finish, it's your fault because you don't want it. We got to where we've come to the place, brother, it's not when the roll is called up yonder, it's when the rolls are served down yonder, I'll be there. We've shut the mouth of God because we can't even preach our sermon over 30 minutes. Yeah. We gotta come out of that stuff!
Yeah.
People will come up to you and they'll come in and they'll say, that's a long-winded preacher, go down there and spend an hour at the donut shop trying to talk about the preacher that preaches 30 minutes!
Right.
We're in trouble!
Yeah.
You excuse me for this, but we are in trouble, folks!
Right.
And we need a touch from God!
Yeah.
We've got to have it! We don't just say we need it, we've got to have it, amen, brother. You need the touch of God on you, amen. You need it, brother. And I'm praying that you're going to get it this morning. Church, you need the touch of God on us.
Yes, sir.
This little church sitting on this knob up here, you can call it Gobbler's Knob or whatever you want to. That's the place where God touches. It's going to be a different place, amen. You go back and look in your Bible. When God showed up, things changed.
Right.
You want to change, you got to get God involved in it.
Yeah.
You don't believe it, you go back to the darkness of the void that was there when God showed up.
Yeah.
In the beginning God. Amen?
Yeah.
That's right. Something happened.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something, when it's all over, something's going to happen too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
When it comes back and that Bible has run its course, you go back to the Revelation 22 and you get to the last chapter, you're going to find a pure stream of water flowing from the throne of God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you this, at the judgment seat, God's going to make me give an account for the stream that I've worked through.
Yes,
it's been a clear stream. It's been the best stream. So on Wednesday night, I showed you something, and the devil attacked it. He attacks me when I preach on something like that.
Yeah.
And when you get to the point that you say, let us reason together, and you start saying that God had to get contaminated with us before He could make us like Him.
Right.
The devil don't like that stuff, so you have to watch it. You have to watch it. So when you come to the place and you have to stop a sermon, and then you've got this place in between, and it gives the old devil time to work on your mind. So you have to watch that in-between time and stay close to God. And then when you come back the next night, brother, you preached so good on the blood the other night. That was needed right there in that space. And then I come back on Friday night and tried to get that joined back together and saw how good God is. Amen.
Yeah.
We try to find out just how great He is. Our great God. Oh, He is a great God. Did I tell you that? He's a great God. Turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. I'm going to start back with this. And if you have not been here on Wednesday night, I took a little longer than I could, or I should, and I read something. And I started it out with, and going with these things about the Word of God that's been clouded up and muddied up and not, and the reason we're in the shape we're in today is because we are not have the full force of God. We do not have the clear vision of God anymore. It's been muddied. The waters have been muddied and we've got to have a clear vision of God. God expects the best.
Right.
He expects the best. Because He's not going to show up with just a little bit of this and that.
Right.
Brother, He's got to have the best, Brother Terry.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, He's got to have the best.
Yeah.
Because He's God.
Right.
I want to read this. I'm on Ephesians 2 before I get cranked up here. I want to go. I'm already cranked up, but I want you to understand where I'm going here with this last verse. And this will be my last message of the revival. Let me tell you something. I'm not an evangelist. I am not a pastor. I am a man that's on a mission just to teach the Word of God.
Amen.
I just want to fall in love with God.
Yes, sir.
And I want to know that He's with me. And I want you to know that when we preach the Word of God in this church, buddy, that God's on this man. I want to support him 100%. I want him to know I'm behind him. I've got his back.
Amen.
He's going to expect that out of you too if you're going to be a great church.
Yeah.
You don't go home and chew on the preacher's leg 5 minutes after you get home. You tell him how great he is sometimes. Pat him on the back and tell him, thank you, good job!
Amen.
You get that evangelist over there and you get your evangelist and you say, I love that sermon today. Thank you for it.
Yeah.
Let him know it sometime. We saw it the other night. Son, say amen or go home. Don't just come and sit down here and just poop like a log, like a knot on a log.
Yeah.
I know people, I was so bashful when I was a kid, man, I couldn't talk to a stump. God called me to preach. I said, God, you made a mistake. That's the worst thing you could have done. I don't understand it, Lord. I mean it. I don't understand it. Bite your fingernail to quit. Only time I ever heard my daddy say I love you was laying out and decking the floor calling me a dirty name. That's love, ain't it? I watched him die for 2 weeks. And I couldn't say anything. Never could buy him a Father's Day card because nothing fit. All he wanted was a fifth of liquor. And then I watched him die. For 2 weeks I watched him die. I couldn't say anything. My mama said, I want you to go tell him you're going to have to pull the plug. Your body can't take it no more. I went in to my dad and I said, Dad, I didn't know he could hear me. I said, we're going to have to, Mom asked me to go ahead and make the decision and call the family for you. We're going to have to take this thing out. I told him that and then went home, all the way from Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, every day going down. About 1 o'clock in the morning, they said he'd passed away. I didn't have to do it. But I had to call my sister. My sister lived 1 month after that and never talked to me a day after. This job is tough, folks. It's ugly. It is mean. It is cruel. But our God's got to get involved in it.
Yeah,
and He's the only one that's going to make the difference in us.
Right. Yeah.
It's time now to do it. Not next week. Not next month. It is time to do it now.
Yeah.
Day is a day. Praise God. I don't know how much of this I'm going to get out. But I want you to turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 2. In the book of Ephesians, and we saw in the book of Isaiah, it's the plan of salvation, that's what his name is, and you've got that taking you all the way into the new heaven and new earth. You're going to have a change in the scene right there in chapter 40, and it's going to take you through. And it'll take you through, and our Bible is such a special book, and our Bible is so incorporated into God's plan that there's numerical values I can show you one day in our teaching, and those values, but you have to go back to Hebrew to get it. It's not incorporated into salvation. Why? I tried to show you the other night, and I didn't get a chance to fully say this, but that grace is an uncountable noun. Why? Ain't no end to it. That's why. Praise God. You can't count all the people that the grace affects. You can't count it all, brother. You can't count it all. God's coming out here to create it, and He's going back with it. You can't count it. God is so good. God is so good. You know, I've got an old calendar. And I can look at that Jewish calendar I've got, and it's got 2003. And if you add these 13 years since, 2016, you go back to your calendar and you look on the Jewish calendar, and you're right at 5777. If you've got 6,000 years and you're counting on the Jewish calendar, you're almost there, brother. We don't count. We don't count, but they do.
Yeah.
In your Old Testament Bible, if salvation don't come, it's all going to be wiped out. The only thing it is because God has got involved in it.
Right.
And He planned it all along. He planned it from before the foundation of this earth. Romans chapter 2 says, Ephesians 2, I'm sorry. In Ephesians chapter 2, and I believe the book of Ephesians is right where you got it.
Yeah.
It's right where it should be. And when we looked at this verse, we saw this. We saw at the for by grace are you saved through faith in verse 8. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God.
Amen.
When you lay down at His feet and you hang on to His feet, His precious grace comes and it's all the darkness has to scatter, folks, because of His might and His glory. It's got to go. It's got to go because nothing can stand in His way. The darkness has to flee when He comes along. Now, will you turn with me to the book of Hebrews? Did I tell you I believe the book of Hebrews is right where it ought to be? It's right where it ought to be. As a matter of fact, in this Old Testament, I've got this standing here because it was the everlasting nation that we saw. They're dependent upon the church preaching the gospel back to them.
Man.
That's why you have James after the book of Hebrews, because James is the Greek name for Jacob in the Old Testament. They said, now we're saved. Here's how we can come out of this exile and go do what we're supposed to do. Amen?
Yeah.
That's the reason. You got a book here that is so holy that it drips blood, brother. Every time you see it, you ought to think of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleansed us from all sin. There's power in the blood!
Amen.
Look there with me. If you look at the first chapter, it starts out. And it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He what? He made the worlds. He made them, folks, and they were cloudy and dirty. And every time He walks through the valley of the in a valley or whatever, it has to come and drop in His presence.
Right.
He created it. And it's all created by the Son of God. When I first preached here, I said in the book of Ephesians and in the book of Colossians, you're going to find He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. And that verse will tell you every sermon I ever preach, every sermon that comes through this mouth is going to be because I believe that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, created the universe and everything He's got in it is Him. When Christ, what? Which is your life shall appear, you shall be like Him.
Yeah.
Now, have I made my point clear? Everything that contaminates God has to flee. God Almighty is more powerful than the contamination.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
If I was preaching heresy, I wouldn't be here today. I don't believe that, brother. You'd have done put me out of here. Brother, you'd have preached against me the other night if it had been heresy.
Amen.
I'm not preaching heresy. I'm trying to tell you how great God is.
Yeah.
Amen? So you forgive me if it was unclear on the first night. That was my fault, but it's simply your fault because I couldn't come and stay longer. You didn't invite me to go to your house with you, so I couldn't go preach to you at your house. My wife got a dose of it after I got the house, but look with me. Look with me at that chapter right there. I've turned over another verse. I want you to look at chapter 2 again. God, who at sundry times, but you look at chapter 2, verse number 3, we've seen the great salvation of God.
Yes.
How shall we escape if we, what? Neglect so great salvation. How are we going to escape it? Because it's God's plan from eternity past to eternity future.
Wow.
Repentance is a process of turning back to God. God plowed through history and He put a mark at the end of the field. And when He got there, His Son came and died on the mark.
Man.
That's the cross. That's what it was. That's where you get your letter T. That's why it's a mark. And then the Holy Ghost of God comes and seals you and brings you back to the mark and seals you because you're made in the image of God through Christ Jesus.
Man.
Amen? It's all about Him.
Yes, sir.
Heaven.
We're recipients of His love. We're recipients of His grace. We're recipients of His mercy.
Amen.
And when we do and we touch Him, son, all the contamination has to flee.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you get a touch from God, something got to happen.
Right.
You can't tell me you can continue doing them things.
Amen.
You can't tell me that you've got the slop all over you and you said I had a touch from God.
Come on. Yeah.
That takes care of that right there, don't it, brother? I could sit down right now and preach all I need to. I'm not going to. Don't worry. I got some more to say. If I ever preach another revival, I don't know, it's just about kill me, brother. I know why you have heart problems. I don't preach revivals. I just like to sit on the step and teach myself. I get back in with this lesson. I'm going to get you in that water business. God created man from dust. I said that the other night. You try that one, buddy. Take you a bunch of dust, you get out of your house and go try to figure out how to make a man out of it. Praise God. Then you try to wonder when God separated the water from water, where'd he have the water at? Because he's already got a plan for it. It's in the scripture. Let me tell you something, when John the Baptist was baptized in water, it wasn't just a place and a time just because somebody made an accident and it just happened. It's a plan that God had for the future. This book, did I tell you this book's good? I told you it's good, man. It's good. And it gets better. I can't get enough of it. How shall we escape? If I preach again, if I happen to do this again, you talk me into it again, I'm going to preach on the Song of Solomon. I have found him whom my soul loveth, and I will not let him go. You don't hear a lot of songs, sermons on the Song of Solomon. But yet it's the greatest of all songs. Why don't you hear any more about it? You got to have a touch from God to know that book. You need to know, man. I've grabbed a hold of him and I've touched him.
Yeah.
I've grabbed a hold of his feet and I won't let him go.
Yeah.
I can't let him go. I don't know what I'll do if I let him go.
Yeah.
I'd be in hell if I let him go.
Yeah.
I used to get in an old car when I was drunk before I was 12 years old. I'd get in the car and that thing was like a bullet. Boom! I was gone, man. You could hear me coming for 10 miles. I had my mufflers off and everything. No fire coming out that old car. You could hear that thing for miles. Wide open. I've been so drunk you didn't even know where I was at. Lost my car. Don't even know how I got there. You don't tell me that the grace of God's not good.
Man.
I know what it's like. I've experienced that touch ever since for 35 years. And I'm going to tell you something, there have been times I've had to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry I did it again.
Yeah.
Did it again, I messed up. He said, hey, come on, son, come on. And it all has to go. Makes me feel good again.
Amen.
You know what's so good about taking this thing one day at a time? Because he doesn't forget about it today and tomorrow is a new day. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it again tomorrow. And he's going to go say, oh, boy, come on, get back in my feet. Don't let it build up on you, because it stinks.
Right.
But if it does build up, just a moment, just a split second. I used to wonder why the rapture, what was this thing about the rapture? Why are people so misunderstood about the rapture? In a twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet. That great trumpet's going to sound one day. You know what that is? You know what them Jews believe that is? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You see, when your clock turns over from 12 a.m. to 12 p.m., there's a moment, just a speck of time, when that clock changes to a.m. to p.m. Amen? That's what that is. I told you it was in slow motion. No, man, it's, I'm going to be gone like that. Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Them old folks are going to be laying out in graves, and our mamas and daddies and whoever that's got saved, and they're going to come up out of that grave. And then we, which are alive and remain, are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Yes.
Happy times, praise God. You forgive me, but I told you I got full last night, and I am ready to go. I want you to go with me again after the Song of Solomon. We'll look at Isaiah, but I want you to go with me to Psalm chapter 139. I want you to think about something here, because every time you see the word hell in definitions, you see it in the book of the Old Testament called Sheol. It's called Sheol, place of the departed dead. You remember when the rich man of Lazarus, and when they go down to Abraham's bosom, place of the departed dead. Abraham and Lazarus, the same place. There's a gulf fixed between over here and over here. Lazarus is in a place of safety, place of Abraham's bosom. That was the place until Jesus Christ came and said, "Today thou shalt be with me." And that thief, that old thief, got down off that cross, and Jesus met him down there and took him out of that place. Some of them had been down there all their time, and now all of a sudden, and that old boy gets down there, and all of a sudden Jesus takes him out of there. He didn't have to stay there all the time, but it was a place of safety. But that word, look in Psalm 139, it's very important to understand what this verse is and why I chose this. And I hope it verifies everything I've said. I hope it explains everything I've said. That God is so great. Notice this. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and hast laid hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Watch this. Listen, listen, listen. Don't let your mind go anywhere else. Listen. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, Thou art there.
Right.
How do you explain that? And not explain that God had to get contaminated to push the stuff out of the way for us to have glory with Him.
Yeah.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, the chaos, even there shall Thy hand lead me and Thy right hand shall hold me.
Yeah.
You see my point, folks? You cannot turn a page on this Bible without understanding that God has to be a part of it. And it's ugly, and it's dirty, and it's mean, and it's cruel. I have faced some of the meetings. I had a jail cell one day, and I was down there with that place packed out. And I got to preaching, and an old big black boy came up and slung his Bible down in the floor. And he looked at me, and he said, "You know these black guys coming here to hear you white guys preach?" I said, "Why don't you give them something then, and they'll listen to you?" I laid into him for about 15 minutes. And I preached to him right in his face. And I looked at him and I said, "Give him something!"
Damn.
He grinned at me and looked and listened to the rest of my sermon. He wasn't looking for a coward.
Right.
He's looking for somebody to tell him about the Word of God himself.
Damn.
This man was an educated man, UAB degree. This man had another college degree. I'm a 10th grade educated idiot, man, and I know that. I've got enough sense to know this Bible because God's met with me. That's all I need. I don't need sermon. I don't need people to call me and give me places to preach. Son, I'll go back to the jail and preach.
Damn.
There's plenty of people down there. They're running over down there. I've been down there where there were so many of them. Here's a bunk, here's a bunk, here's a floor, and somebody got to lay by near the toilet, buddy. And it ain't no pretty sight. They're ugly, they're mean, they stink, and everything else sometimes.
Right.
But yet God,
yes,
the message of God went there.
Man.
You go down there and preach to that bunch. I've heard stories, buddy, I wouldn't take my wife down there to save your neck. I've heard some of the stories. I've been out in the department where they're at. I've been out by their beds and listened to them. There's some of the nastiest mouth people, nastiest, filthy-minded people you ever seen. I've been on death row and I've peeped in that little hole at them. And I've looked at them and I've said, "God loves you."
Yeah.
I was looking in that little place one day and I was down in that thing and I looked and here's a boy says, "Hey, I heard you say something about Jack LeGrand." I said, "Yeah, that's where I go to church." He said, "I used to ride a bus over there. Used to ride the bus." He heard about Jesus, buddy. Old Ron Hath and his wife over there runs that thing. They run in buses. There's still one church that do. They'll go pick them up. They go out into places where these little people come. And you almost, when they come, you better have it all latched down when they come too. They'll get it from them. Ain't careful. But they still go get them because they need Jesus.
Amen.
The only hope for this world is Jesus.
Amen.
The only hope for people in prison is Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, folks. We don't have nothing else to offer. But if we're going to offer it to Him, we better have a touch from Him.
Right.
Because He's different. He's different because he's God.
Yeah.
Yet he took a body. He came. I was going to use the book of Philippians. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You never know what somebody's thinking. You know? We had two boys, and one of them, that boy, you don't never know what that boy was going to say. That youngest, and he's still like this sometimes. He's witty, and you know, you never know what he's going to say. He's a little old bitty boy like this, and he's boom, 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 he's all over the place. Like some of them you got. All over the place, into everything at one time. Everything comes across them at one time. Their little old minds can't settle down. Was at the table one time, he's sitting there, boom, 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 boom. His mama looked at him, and he's sitting there like this, and she said, boy, sit there, and what are you doing? He said, well, I'm just measuring that pickle. Was in the car one day, and he looked back there, and his mama said, did we forget something? He said, yeah, we forgot to leave Dale at home. You don't ever know what people are going to say. You don't know what they're thinking. You have to let God get involved in their thinking. Amen. That's the only thing. Washed by the blood. Cleansed by the blood. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took on him the form of a servant and was what? Made in the likeness of men. Took on my filth so that I could be his purity. He's the only one who could do it. Buddha can't do it. None of the rest of them can do it. You've heard that. I'm begging God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You close this out, brother. We've got to have a touch from God.
Man,
we've got to have a touch from God. In the way we see our Bible, it is so designed. Let's see, what is 22 books of the Old Testament, 22 books in the New Testament. In the book of Isaiah, you got 39 chapters all of a sudden, Deutero-Isaiah, 27 chapters. In our Bible, you got to add the plan of salvation. You've got 22. You need a 66 Bible. You do know that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote his last books there, and the Apostle Paul has got this little pastor named Titus. And when Titus comes on the scene there, there's another Titus. Old Titus is the one that came along in 66 A.D. started a campaign against Israel to destroy the house of God. 66 A.D. Took him 4 years. He came and destroyed the house of God. In 70 A.D., and when the repentant process starts, and you keep one thing in mind, Adam was 930 years old, and then you got 70 years of captivity in the Bible, in the last chapter of your Bible, they're coming out of captivity after 70 years, makes 1,000, amen? After this salvation plan comes through, buddy, God's going to do something. He's going to wrap this thing up.
Right.
He's waiting. He's waiting. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance.
Amen.
And that's why he's such a great God.
Yes, sir.
And his love and his kindness is so much greater than our sin. He's waiting on you if you're not saved. Somebody comes in that door, they need somebody to tell them that Jesus loves them.
Yeah.
They need to see a smile instead of a frown. Yeah. Well, I'm going to give this illustration. How much longer do I got, bro? What time do I need to get through? Am I? Okay, good. Back when I got saved, I was smoking. I love my cools, man. Natural man. See, even not things, but you just love smoke, man. It's just a natural thing. It don't matter whether them tar in there are going to kill you or not. It don't make no difference. You just want a cigarette, right? My wife and I was going by a store the other day, and it said that these cigarettes, the price was $3 and something a pack. I said, that's rabbit tobacco. I ran out of cigarettes. I smoked rabbit tobacco. You know what rabbit tobacco is? That old junk you get out of the field, buddy, and you wrap it up in a brown paper and smoke it when you run out of cigarette. That's rabbit tobacco. That's as low as it gets. I kept the bag. So, you know, when it's back at my house, plenty of rabbit tobacco and plenty of paper, get it and go for it. I couldn't quit smoking. People tell me, get you a Bible and put it in your pocket. Get you a little New Testament and put it in your pocket there. And every time you want a cigarette, reach in there and get it. Didn't work. Didn't work. I'd take my cigarettes out and mash them suckers flat and slop them down. I'd be 5 minutes later, I'd be looking for them, taking them apart. Wasted that cigarette, didn't I? I did that and did that till I got tired of it. And I got to the point, God, I can't do it. You want me to preach? You told me that my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. I can't do this. I can take you down Warrior Jasper Road right there in our little house that we lived in. And I got so desperate, I got down on my knees. And there was a preacher told me, he said, why don't you just remember 1 Corinthians 10:13? Why don't you lay that out before God? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way for you to escape it. You may be able to bear it. Amen? I heard you say something one day, brother. You understand? I did that, and I got down on my knees in that floor, and I got enough of it. I told God, I said, God, I've got enough of this. I need your help. And I knelt down and I got my Bible and I quoted that verse and I got up, mister, and at this day you pump a big old wrong stogie in my face and it don't bother me. I ain't never sucked another one. God did that for me. And I never forgot it, and that was 30 something years ago. Son, when God does something, it sticks. We was back in the country. We had decoration. My wife always called it a picnic with the dead. We were back there in that country. I'd have this group come, Brother Buck and him, and they'd sing for me each year. They said, had some dillies with him too sometime. But he did a good job singing for us. And then one Sunday, that back where the graveyard's at, not far from where your dad preaches down there where most of our families are buried, we went to that decoration. And there was one of those singers in our church the week before. He had a seizure. He's sitting in the back. And I was preaching. And he grabbed his coat, and I thought he was having a heart attack. And Brother Buck realized something was going on. He said, ho, everything's okay. And so we calmed down and kept on the service. The next week we got out there and Brother Buck was singing for them. Back out in the country. That little old place has been stripped over for years and years and years. Nothing out there but a little old country church with a graveyard sitting on a little knob out there. He comes out there and that little old church house was full. And then they mentioned, Brother Buck got up and mentioned that this guy's going to have some attention, some medical attention. And I got up and I said, hey, we don't need to wait. He's talking about waiting. I said, we don't need to wait. If he needs attention, he didn't now. My wife and I pulled out $100 and said, this is here. We're going to give this for it. Before we got through that service, over $1,000 went through that place. Not off a gobbler's knob, if you want to call it that. I understand there's a gobbler's knob up there, but there's a little place there, just a little knob in the country. God got in that service.
Amen.
It'll change you when God gets here, folks. I'm telling you, when God shows up, it'll change you.
Right.
Sometimes we just need to show Him something. I don't have time for much more, and I want to finish with this, and I'm going to ask Brother Josh. This song that I've got, I have used, and we had this federal release program. We got this song. I want you to listen to it. I'm going to let that be my invitation. But I've got one more thing I want to do. Hell is ugly.
Right.
You hear me? Did I say hell was ugly?
Sir, ma'am.
We had them old buses coming up and down the road sometime, them old things. And you didn't think you was going to get another block. You had to pray, God, put an angel on the fenders of these things for us and keep us safe. You didn't know if the brakes were going to give out on the next bend or not, but you had a whole load of somebody's kids in your bus. But we had to go.
Ma'am.
We had to. Because somebody wouldn't bring them.
Yeah.
Mom and Daddy wouldn't bring them. We had to go. Hell is so ugly. God says, what can you show me? And I'll tell you what. Moses, what's that thing you got in your hand? It's just an old rod, was it not? But God's got a plan to go across there. He knew He was going across that Red Sea.
Right.
But you know something? He just wanted to see how much faith Moses had. That's all he needed. Raise it up. Let's go. Amen. Come on, follow me. He opened that Red Sea. That was an event that ain't never been shut up about, right?
Right, man.
Next time we're going to have a big crossing. People going to go to hell if we don't take care of this thing,
right.
And if we don't give God something to raise something up and say, Lord, we want to keep them out of hell.
Now,
upon this rock, I will build my church.
Man.
And the gates of hell will not come against it. You know how, why we're going to have to keep, how we're going to keep people out of hell? We're going to have to get involved.
Right.
I've got something right here, buddy, and I'm telling you something. I got mine. I bought this 97-cent water pistol that leaks at cheap Chinese thing, and I don't care. I just need to show it thing, and God's going to take care of the rest. Amen? I'm going to walk around squirting water at the devil, and I'm going to say, mister, get out of here! That's all I need, folks! Praise God, that's all I need! Amen. Ain't that right, brother?
Amen.
That's all we need. Look at that.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to give this thing to one of these kids in a few minutes. They'll shoot you all out of the kids, and they're going to preach to you, buddy.
Amen.
All I need. Oh, man. Praise. That's all I need. Amen. That's all I need.
Yes,
son, God's going to show up when you start letting Him know that you're on His side. I mean it.
Yes,
I'm not just preaching. I mean it.
Amen.
God. We've got to get God on our side.
Yes, sir.
And we've got to get to the point. We're going to charge hell with a water pistol.
Yeah.
If there's somebody that's dying and going to hell, God's going to show up.
Yeah. Amen.
We've got to get them in here, though, to preach to them, ain't
right.
I don't know how it's going to happen, though. Government's done messed us up with the buses. Trying to take her, even take her license away from us and everything else. Just common people, man. We used to have people, you wonder where they came from. They're riding a bus. Driving a bus.
Yeah.
Just wondering. Gosh, I didn't get near about through. That's the way it is. That's the way it is, brother. I just got to stop. Empty the vessel. And let God fill the vessel. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Empty it from yourself. Let's get God. And I'm preaching to myself. I preached to myself since 12 o'clock last night. I'm serious. It's not about me. You can stick a Winnie wrapper over my head. Just leave me enough room to breathe and talk. And the Word of God can do the rest. Amen? Make a cone head out of whatever you want to. But the Word of God going forth is what's going to take. That's what it takes. And if you're going to be a great church, are you listening to me? Say amen if you hear me.
Amen.
Somebody didn't say amen. Say amen if you hear me.
Amen.
Praise God. You're on the right track. You get God in this thing, and you'll see it bust wide open.
Yes, sir.
Right. And that's what we're looking for, brother. Here you come. So many people say, you just don't know where I've been and what I've done. You just don't understand. You just don't know where I've been. You just don't know the filth that's been in my life. You just can't comprehend what I've done for the height. You just don't know the people I've talked to. You just don't know. You've just not seen the people that I've seen that said, oh, I need Jesus. They've had so much filth in their life. Don't you want to do something to God? If you can't kneel, just stand and put your hands in the air and praise God. Come on. Let's do business with God. Let's get a touch from God. I don't care how much you shout and how much you holler. I just want to know if you're walking straight when you hit the floor. Amen.